The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The United Nations Human Rights Council on February 5th held an intersessional panel discussion on human rights challenges in addressing and countering all aspects of the world drug situation. The discussion aimed to provide space for a constructive and inclusive dialogue informed by findings contained in a new report prepared by the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights entitled Human Rights Challenges in Addressing and Countering All Aspects of the World Drug Problem. Let's hear first from Volker Türk, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Delegates, distinguished panelists, I'm glad to open this discussion, which is indeed urgently needed. Human rights ought to be central to all policies that tackle the world's drug problem. Currently, this is far from the case, and I encourage the Council to continue ramping up its engagement on these topics and to infuse a human rights dimension in all fora where these issues are being shaped. And we have the representative of UNODC and UNAIDS here, and indeed very relevant discussions are taking place in fora that your organizations service. Your discussion today is particularly vital in light of the upcoming midterm review of the 2019 Ministerial Declaration on the World Drug Problem. It's a key opportunity to recommend changes to drug policies over the next 5 years, strengthening their advancements of human rights, and in doing so, making those policies more effective. Our report, that was mentioned, identifies several policy areas of serious concern. They include so-called war on drug policies, including the militarization of drug control, which often subjects people to a range of serious violations of human rights, compulsory drug treatment, over-incarceration, and related prison overcrowding. And we have seen in many parts of the world what this can lead to. Use of the death penalty for drug-related offenses is of grave concern. Other issues include lack of and unequal access to treatment and harm reduction. Policies regarding drugs need above all to advance human rights, including the right to health. And unfortunately, we have seen more and more policies in recent years that are better grounded in public health and rights-based approaches. The report of my office points to global efforts to move away from the death penalty for drug offenses, as well as a number of national initiatives to shift away from punitive approaches by decriminalizing drug use and possession, setting up alternatives to incarceration, and broadening harm reduction, steps that are in line with our recommendations. For example, in the United Kingdom, Scotland published 2 months ago a draft outline of its Charter of Rights for people affected by substance use, which it plans to finalize by the end of this year. The draft is firmly grounded in the international guidelines on human rights and drug policy and nourished by community consultations. Colombia continues to implement significant human rights-based changes to its drug policies to focus on prosecuting those who benefit most from criminal activity and dismantling criminal networks while protecting vulnerable people from harm. Pakistan ended capital punishment for drug-related offenses in July last year. Malaysia has removed its mandatory death penalty for drug offenses, and the resentencing of hundreds of individuals on death row is underway. In India and Mexico, recent legal reforms have emphasized alternatives to incarceration in some cases. Ghana has recently adopted legislative changes in the direction of a public health-friendly drug policy, which needs to be followed up by meaningful initiatives for alternatives to incarceration and access to treatment, healthcare, and social services for people who use drugs. The report also highlights increased focus on human rights in drug policy discussions in international fora and greater participation of civil society in national and global decision-making processes that are related to drugs. Building on these positive developments and similar progress in several other countries, we must strive to move the world away from an ineffective and harmful emphasis on prohibition and punishment. Drug policies must include evidence-based and gender-sensitive approaches to harm reduction and be part of broader efforts to end racial and gender discrimination in policing and criminal justice systems. Harm reduction services can have very positive impact for drug users and communities. In this and every other respect, drug policies need to uphold the rights of people who use drugs, and this also means that people who inject drugs and who may develop infectious diseases, including HIV/AIDS, must have access to medical care in an atmosphere of respect. All treatment for drug dependence must be voluntary and provided by qualified health professionals. The decriminalization of drug usage can be a powerful step forward. To turn an economy away from the cultivation of illicit crops, it is important that communities, including farmers, women, and indigenous peoples, are meaningfully consulted on options for alternative livelihoods. We also need measures that can take control of illegal drug markets, such as responsible regulation that can eliminate profits from illegal trafficking, criminality, and violence. And overall, people who use drugs, affected communities and young people, as well as civil society organizations, must participate in the design, implementation, and evaluation of all policies on drugs. I urge all actors to engage with my office, the Council's special procedures, and our UN colleagues for expert advice on human rights-based approaches to these and other issues in line with the UN common position on drugs. Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
That was Volker Türk, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, speaking February 5th at the Human Rights Council's intersessional panel discussion on human rights challenges in addressing and countering all aspects of the world drug situation. Now let's hear from Ann Fordham, Executive Director of the International Drug Policy Consortium.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, it's a privilege to be part of this distinguished panel today. It has been over a decade since United Nations human rights bodies began breaking down the silos that separated drug policy and human rights. Through tireless efforts, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights and other human rights entities have had a truly transformational effect on global drug policy debates. They have shone a spotlight on the catastrophic impacts of the so-called war on drugs, which can no longer be denied or downplayed. And I feel confident that sooner than later, this critical work will transform the global approach to drugs. It's my honor to represent the International Drug Policy Consortium, a global network of over 190 NGOs from over 75 countries who come together to promote drug policies grounded in human rights and social justice. For decades, the unrealistic goal of achieving a society free of drug abuse has driven drug policies based on prohibition, criminalization, and harsh punishment. The harms caused by these policies can only be repaired by making sure that civil society and community organizations play a central role in bringing forward evidence and lived experience to inform and shape drug policies. Member states and UN bodies have a responsibility to honestly listen to civil society and affected communities, including people who use drugs, subsistence farmers, producers, people who have been incarcerated, and all those who have been disproportionately impacted, and to reflect on how to reform a global system that has so clearly failed. I begin on a sobering note. As we have heard today, the United Nations is in the midst of conducting a midterm review of the current global drug strategy, the 2019 Ministerial Declaration on Drugs. In December last year, IDPC launched a shadow report to evaluate the progress made by the international community in addressing the 12 challenges identified in the 2019 Ministerial Declaration. The conclusion is that little to no progress has been made. and that the situation remains grave. Despite billions spent every year on drug law enforcement, the illegal drug market is thriving, and militarized responses are fueling violence and conflict. Drug-related deaths remain at a historical high, over 500,000 deaths per year, driven in many places by a deadly, toxic, and unpredictable drug supply, while access to harm reduction, treatment, and other support services fall dramatically short of what is needed. Access to controlled medicines for pain relief and palliative care also remains low to non-existent in many parts of the world. Our report also highlights that in all regions, the human rights impacts of drug control have either worsened or remained unchanged. These abuses are widespread and range from the ongoing use of the death penalty, extrajudicial killings, arbitrary arrest and detention, mass incarceration, and cases of torture masquerading as treatment. There is also widespread discrimination on the basis of race, gender, age, and socioeconomic status. In sum, we absolutely concur with the High Commissioner's finding that the world drug situation has a major impact on the enjoyment of human rights. The United Nations system, both in Geneva and in Vienna, needs to recognize this reality and initiate a process of institutional transformation that brings an end to the current paradigm. The good news is that global drug policy is poised to change. For instance, this panel has been convened at the request of the historical 2023 Human Rights Council resolution on human rights and drug policy, which broke the taboo at the UN on harm reduction and recognized the centrality of gender, indigenous people's rights, and racial justice in drug policy debates. Such progress would have been unthinkable a few years ago. The resolution also requested the preparation of the report on human rights challenges in drug policy presented today, a truly groundbreaking document that presents a clear blueprint for global reform. At its release, the report was welcomed by a joint statement of 134 NGOs, urging member states to take on the High Commissioner's recommendations. And the report is already being used by advocates for reforms all over the world. Drug policy itself is shifting. By the end of 2023, 66 jurisdictions in 40 countries had decriminalized drug use and possession for personal use, a measure endorsed by the UN Common Position on Drugs, and described by OHCHR as a powerful instrument to ensure the rights of people who use drugs are protected. Over 3 million people live in legal systems that have regulated drugs like cannabis for recreational use, thus checking the power of organized crime and the pressure of the police on people who use drugs and marginalized populations. Many other jurisdictions will follow soon. At the request of Bolivia, the WHO recently initiated a critical review of the status of the coca leaf under the UN drug conventions, a measure that could end the global prohibition on the coca leaf, thus reinstating the rights of indigenous peoples that have used the plants for centuries. Human rights bodies have been indispensable in building this global moment for change, and their contributions will not end anytime soon. To give you two examples, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health will release this year a much expected and much necessary report on harm reduction within the framework of the Right to Health. And the Committee on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights continues to make progress towards the adoption of a general comment on drug policy, which began in 2022. The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights must be praised, not only for the landmark 2023 report, but also for tirelessly supporting advocates and civil society seeking reform at both international and national level. Their presence in Vienna has been consequential and needs to be continued and strengthened through regular reporting and interventions at the UN Commission on Narcotic Drugs. However, in spite of this progress, the contribution of human rights mechanisms has been limited in scope and inevitably depends on the personal interest of each mandate holder. If we want to ensure a genuine understanding of the human rights dimensions of drug policies and to generate recommendations that will change the system, a further step needs to be taken. In that regard, we urge the Human Rights Council to move towards the creation of a special procedure mandate on human rights and the world drug situation, A special mandate, either a special rapporteur or working group, is necessary to provide evidence on the broad range of dimensions in which the drug phenomenon impacts human rights and sheds light on the situation of affected communities, and most importantly, to develop in a coherent and systematic way the international standards necessary to bring a new drug policy paradigm to reality. A quick look at the themes of the over 50 special procedure mandates already existing makes clear that the scale of the human rights impacts associated with the world drug problem, over 500,000 drug-related deaths per year, and 20% of the global prison population, warrants the creation of a mechanism. I hope this is a recommendation we can discuss today and for the coming days. Finally, I wanted to reiterate that the High Commissioner's report is a historic document that builds on the encouraging momentum we've seen over the past decade in firmly centering human rights in drug policy debates. Our hope is that true transformational change is coming that heralds a genuine paradigm shift away from repression and punishment towards drug policies that truly prioritize human rights and the health and welfare of mankind.
That was Anne Fordham, Executive Director of the International Drug Policy Consortium, speaking February 5th at the Human Rights Council's intersessional panel discussion on human rights challenges in addressing and countering all aspects of the world drug situation. Christine Stegling is the Deputy Executive Director of the Policy, Advocacy, and Knowledge Branch at UNAIDS.
Let me first take the opportunity to congratulate the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights for this excellent and timely report that the Commissioner has given us highlights of in his opening remarks. As UNAIDS and as the Joint Program on HIV and AIDS, we engage in these discussions through a public health perspective. For over four decades, the world has been responding to the global AIDS pandemic. The response has, in many ways, been impressive. Significant investments and combined government and community efforts leading to an almost 40% decrease in new infections and a 52% decline in AIDS-related deaths since 2010. Yet these gains hide significant inequalities. Not everyone has benefited from these successes. And the ones who have benefited least are people who use drugs. They are left behind in the HIV response. In 2022, the year we have the latest data for, the relative risk of acquiring HIV was 14 times higher for people who inject drugs than for the rest of the adult population, 14 times higher. If we look nationally, HIV prevalence among people who inject drugs ranges from 0 to 50%. Antiretroviral coverage from 25 to over 90%. So you see the enormity of the inequalities that are demonstrated here, both that HIV can be prevented and that treatment can be provided for people who inject drugs, and that we are failing in many cases to do that. These inequalities are driven by structural barriers, by stigma, by discrimination, by lack of financing and investment in HIV programs for key populations, including harm reduction and structural responses. Ending AIDS as a public health threat by 2030 means ending AIDS for all populations and for all communities. However, to achieve that requires a radical change in our approach to drug policy. The recommendations in the High Commissioner's report outline many of the essential elements of that change. First, drug prohibition has failed. Punitive drug laws and law enforcement practices create significant barriers for people who inject drugs to access a range of benefits and services, including but not just limited to harm reduction services. Criminalization reflects and also exacerbates and perpetuates societal stigma and discrimination beyond legal sanctions. In eight of the 14 countries that reported data to UNAIDS, more than 10% of people who inject drugs avoided healthcare services due to the stigma and discrimination they faced. And yet, 145 countries around the world still criminalize the use or possession of small amounts of drugs. Decriminalization of drug use is critical to guaranteeing access to HIV services, and the report we are discussing here today emphasizes that effectively designed and implemented decriminalization is essential to ensure the right to health of people who inject drugs. Harm reduction programs, particularly needle and syringe programs and opioid agonist therapy, are crucial in the HIV response, demonstrating time and again their efficacy in reducing HIV incidence. However, these programs are underfunded and unavailable to the majority of people who inject drugs. And many times when they are available, they are not available at scale. Over 80 countries globally have either needle and syringe programs or opioid agonist treatment, or both. However, in 2019, UNAIDS reported only 1% of people who inject drugs live in countries with the recommended coverage of both services, a number that has not substantially changed in the past 5 years. Women who inject drugs experience double the risk of acquiring HIV due to gender norms, inequalities, sexual violence, and engagement in unsafe sex work. Data from 16 countries reporting to UNAIDS showed that the median HIV prevalence amongst men who inject drugs was 9%, while it was nearly double for women who inject drugs. Addressing stigma, discrimination, and gender inequality involves removing obstructive policies and laws and investing in programs designed to enhance HIV initiatives for women who inject drugs. Therefore, we welcome the report's recommendation to adopt gender-sensitive drug policies that respond to the specific needs of women. To meet the above needs, we need to rebalance investment in drug policy towards health-based approaches. Across 45 countries reporting funding data for programs for people who inject drugs, actual spending only amounted to 7% of the estimated resource needs. Even for that small amount, almost 70% of those funds came from international donors rather than from domestic resources. Finally, the core of a human rights approach is participation. Organizations led by people who use drugs must not just be included, but must be leading the response. A 2021 study found that peer involvement in harm reduction services led to reduced HIV incidence and prevalence, increased service access, acceptability and quality, changed risk behaviors, and reduced stigma and discrimination. And yet 45% of countries reporting to UNAIDS said they do not involve people who inject drugs in HIV decision-making processes, rendering them the key population group that is most excluded from HIV decision-making. Despite positive progress like decriminalization of drug use in some countries, implementation of harm reduction programs, and involvement of civil society in drug policy, there's much work ahead. It is work that must take place across our different hubs in Vienna, in Geneva, and in New York, with human rights, and in particular the right to health, serving as the foundations for our work in every UN parliamentary and community forum. I commend the High Commissioner for Human Rights once again for an excellent report and urge everyone here to incorporate its findings in your discussions wherever they may occur. I thank you.
That was Christine Stegling, Deputy Executive Director, the Policy, Advocacy and Knowledge Branch of UNAIDS, speaking February 5th at the UN Human Rights Council's Intersessional Panel Discussion on Human Rights Challenges in Addressing and Countering All Aspects of the World Drug Situation. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Staying with that Human Rights Council intersessional panel discussion, let's hear now from some of the national delegations. First, here's the Swiss delegate.
I have the honor to deliver the statement on behalf of the member states of the core group of the Resolution 5224, namely Albania, Brazil, Colombia, Greece, Guatemala, Mexico, Paraguay, Portugal, Uruguay, and my own country, Switzerland. We thank the OHCHR for the report in fulfillment of the mandate of the resolution and for hosting today's intersessional panel. The adoption by consensus of Resolution 5224 has shown that common language is possible on this topic. However, the negotiation process and numerous amendments have also reminded us that the urgently needed shift away from punitive approaches towards an international drug policy that puts human rights and public health in the center is still heavily contested and continues to require our full attention and increased joint commitment. This shift, though, is even more compelling in the light of the recent rise of synthetic drugs, which poses new challenges while the old ones remain. Let us make sure that while tackling emerging drug issues, the importance of a holistic approach is recognized and implemented in balanced, evidence-based policies that address discrimination and reduce the stigma towards persons who use drugs in order to ensure voluntary access to drug services. It is encouraging that the report emphasizes recent positive developments in the stronger alignment between human rights and drug policy discussions and among international drug policy bodies. We are also pleased to note the stronger involvement of civil society. To this end, we urge states to implement the key recommendations presented in the report and call upon parties to aim for a progressive health and human rights-based midterm review of the 2019 Ministerial Declaration. I thank you.
Here's the Colombian delegate.
Gracias.
Thank you, President. Colombia aligns itself with the statement delivered by Switzerland on behalf of the core group of Resolution 53/24. And we echo the assertion contained in the report by the Office of the High Commissioner regarding the impact on human rights of the global drug problem and the policies followed to tackle it. The final report by the Colombia's Truth Commission affirms that the policy to combat drugs and drug trafficking has perhaps been the most significant obstacle in efforts to consolidate peace, because it is ineffective when it comes to preventing consumption, it is a perpetuating factor for armed conflicts, and it has caused very severe harm to human rights, security and development. On the basis of Colombia's experience, President Gustavo Petro advocates a human rights-based approach in contrast to the purely punitive approach which, over the course of 50 years, failed to achieve its goals. Colombia has adopted a new human rights and people-centered based drug policy which gives priority to the protection of life and the environment in accordance with achieving total peace. We recognize the transnational dimension of the world drug problem, and therefore Colombia convened a regional conference which this year will discuss the need for fresh approaches in drug policies. However, the Council has a lot to contribute to discussion on challenges for human rights in connection with the world drug problem and drug policies. That is why we are very much in favour of developing this panel. Thank you.
That was the Colombian delegate. Before them, the Swiss delegate. They were speaking February 5th at the UN Human Rights Council's intersessional panel discussion on human rights challenges in addressing and countering all aspects of the world drug situation. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio, syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.